Thank you so much. So I want us to imagine, just for a moment, remember a time when you said yes to God. It might be when you became a Christian, or it might be yesterday when God asked you to do something or to be different in some kind of way. It might be a career decision that you took because you felt he was leading. It might be accepting a marriage proposal or not accepting a marriage proposal or a move of some sort. Do you ever wonder what life would look like if you'd said no? For me, if I'd said no when God called me to go to Bible college, the chances are I wouldn't have met Paul. The chances are I wouldn't have a daughter called Jess. The chances are I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. I probably wouldn't be living in Southampton. I am so thankful that I said yes to God. And this morning, as we start a new teaching series looking at the life of a man called Abraham, or Abram, as he's called in the reading that we're going to look at this morning, right at the beginning of his story, this story starts with an occasion when Abraham says yes, yes to God. So we're going to turn to Genesis 12. And we're going to read the first 9 verses. If you've got your phones, do turn to it on whatever app you use for the Bible there. But if you want to have a look in one of the church Bibles, it's fairly close to the front of the Bible because we're in Genesis, and you'll find the reading on page 13. And we're going to read the first 9 verses. The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they'd accumulated, and the people they'd acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev. God's ask of Abram was big. It was so big. He was asked to leave his country. And relocation, whether it's for work or for some other reason, whether it be an adventure, whether it be to be near a family, or just for a fresh start, relocation is really challenging. It's costly. We should never underestimate the turmoil that relocation causes. And not only is Abraham asked to leave his country, he's asked to leave his people. Friendships are so important. When we said to our Jess when she was about 13, we were moving away from Kent, she really didn't react very well at all. She hid herself in the bottom of her wardrobe and she said she was going on hunger strike until we changed our mind. I have permission to share that story. She'd forgotten, but I haven't. One of those challenging moments. When you're asked to leave your people, it's a big, big thing. And finally, Abraham's asked to leave his father's household. And in leaving his wider family, we find perhaps the greatest angst. Family is Abraham's security. It's part of his identity. Although Abraham travelled with some family, he had to leave others behind. And when my dad moved us to Spain, again when I was about 13 or so, I ended up going to boarding school and the rest of the family went out to Barcelona. And it separated me from my siblings. It was really quite tough. We all found it incredibly hard. We should never underestimate the emotional attachments that change when we leave our people behind. So Abraham's story is enough to make us shudder when we think of the wrench of going into the unknown with all of its uncertainty and associated hardship. And yet, this is the journey that God calls each and every one of us to take. It may not be that we literally have to go to another physical place, take a physical journey, but we're all asked to release our cultural roots. We're all asked to let go of our pasts. We're all asked to go where Jesus leads. We're called to be a people who are willing to be sent. To be sent people, sent into serving, sent into places where we spend our free time. And sometimes the journey God takes us into and sends us to is an internal one, changing the way we think, forgiving those who've offended us, surrendering the way we judge people, examining our hearts to see whether our hearts align with Jesus. Our calling is to hold and to carry God's sending so that where we go, we make a difference for him. A few moments ago, I asked you to imagine what it would have been, to think about when you said yes to God and to think about what it might look have looked like if you'd said no. And I just want to play with that idea as far as Abraham's concerned. What might Abraham's life have looked like if he'd said no? Maybe staying where he was would have weakened his faith because he was surrounded by people who worshipped idols, and the chances are he would have been tempted to do the same. It was the world that he lived in. Perhaps he would have conformed. Perhaps if he'd said no, he would have been a wealthy and a successful farmer. But what of his legacy? What would he have left behind? It's probable his name would never have gone down in history. He certainly wouldn't have played the part he played in God's salvation plan. Abraham's yes to God's invitation is so significant. And you know, it is equally significant when God invites us to say yes to him as well. Let's not fall into the trap of thinking, oh, well, I'm not remarkable like Abraham. So we look at this story over the next few weeks. We're going to see repeatedly that Abraham is remarkable, not so much for his own achievements, but for the greatness that God affords him. Abraham did have a bunch of good qualities. He had some bad ones as well. And he did have some skills. And he did have some abilities. And he did have some competencies. And he did have some expertise. He was an able person. But his successes aren't all about what he did, but the way God acted for him, the way that God acted in him, and the way that God acted through him. And this is such good news, because if God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, It means that just as God acted for Abraham and in Abraham and with him and so on, God will do the same for us. God can act for us so that we can make a difference in his kingdom. So just as God sent Abraham to make a difference in his day, so he sends us to make a difference in ours. We must simply be willing to say that word yes. To be willing to say yes, even though we don't necessarily know what the outcome is going to be at the start of the journey. You know, we do not get great for God without there being some bumps and some challenges along the way. But the really good news, if the other good news wasn't good news, this is more really good news in this story. When God initiates something new, when God asks us to step into new places or a new space or to gain a new experience or to change within ourselves or adopt a different discipline, he does so with upfront promises. And Abraham receives seven promises that he can hold on to as he journeys into the unknown. And we have a Bible full of promises that go beyond what Abraham was promised. But let's look at what God said to Abraham. He says, I will show you a land. He says, I will make you into a great nation. He says, I will bless you. He says, I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. He says, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse whoever curses you, I will curse. And I will give your offspring this land. And we can draw on these promises when we respond to God's invitation and say yes to him. So God says, I will show you. Now, sometimes God will show us things in supernatural ways. I was so nervous 11 or so years ago when we sensed God calling us here to this place. I didn't know how on earth to do a community role that didn't really have a proper job description. And God spoke to me in a dream. I was leading people along a street I didn't recognize in an area I didn't know. And all these people were saying to me, where are you taking us? And in my dream, I was saying, I don't know. But then I noticed a figure along the road in front of me. Jesus was there. I wasn't sure where he was going to take us, but I knew that he would lead the way. And other times God has shown me things in so much more of an ordinary way. I wish he'd show me things supernaturally more often. That's really easy. It's the more natural directions that we can find tricky. But it means that during this sending process, we learn to be discerning. Part of our journey is to discover God in this sending process. Satan showed Jesus some interesting opportunities when Jesus went into the desert to fast and pray after his baptism. Jesus was tempted with the blessing of a full stomach, the reputation of being great and a kingdom as far as the eye could see. But God was not in those promises. And the way God gives Abraham promises, this can help us discern whether our opportunities are God-sent and an invitation to carry out God's sending into something new, or whether they perhaps are the enemy trying to tempt our ego and keep us in a safe and comfortable place. So this phrase, I will show you, is a phrase which means the speaker tends to demonstrate, reveal, or guide. I got that off the internet from a dictionary, you can probably tell. But what it says is that when God invites us to journey, his journeys always involve learning and growth and change. This is this idea of growth and change is supported by his promise, I will make you into a great nation. The writer of Hebrews 12 urges us, run with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Our journey must be one of perseverance, removing distractions that would trip us up, and focusing on the goal of meeting with Christ Jesus. We're going to pause for a moment. And I want to ask a question, and we're just going to have 30 seconds to start a conversation privately with God. When God says, I will show you, it means he's inviting us to change. So for a moment or two, let's ask this question, where might you be resisting growth or change? Is there somebody you need to forgive, a habit you need to change, a step of faith you need to take into something new? Let's pause just for 30 seconds or so. And let God speak to us. Lord, help us to be willing to change and grow. Another promise that God gives to Abraham is this. So I always think of him as Abraham, so I'm going to keep fluctuating between Abraham and Abraham. Abraham flows more naturally. I'm talking about the same bloke. All right. God says, I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. And if you're anything like me, you're up for a bit of God's blessing. Bring it on. It's great when good things happen to us. But living blessed is not the complete picture of the Christian life. I will make your name great is an invitation to examine our reputation. What will people say of us when we are gone? I hope nice things. They'll say nice things about me. But what will they say about the difference that we made within God's kingdom? When did something you said or did change someone's life? When did it bring about a God-directed action to growth? At our last leadership meeting, we were talking about prayer and how hard it can be to pray out loud. And I used to find praying out loud almost impossible about 30 years ago. And I was challenged. I was called out on this. A friend of mine said I had a disability because I couldn't pray out loud. Disability? It was really strong language, but it challenged me deeply. What a privilege it's been to bless other people because I can pray out loud. And I wonder whether God might be inviting and challenging some of us to break through the sound barrier when it comes to this question of prayer. Does that story resonate with you? Is it time you started that journey of praying out loud in the presence of others? Would you like God to help you with that? We're going to spend a few moments silently, just talking silently. How ironic is that? You can say it out loud if you want. I don't care. We're church family. But let's spend some time reflecting on this particular thing. Am I able to pray out loud? And is this something I would like God to show me that I can do it and give it a go? As we spend a few moments silently, if you want to say, God, that is me and I want things to change, I'm going to invite you just to pop your hand up. If we've all got eyes shut, no one will see, but God will know it's a beginning, a commitment of starting to change. Who needs to break through the sound barrier? Thank you. Thank you. Hear his response. I will show you, and put your name in that. I'm not going to call you out in front of the church. I will show you and put your name in. You can do this. Just say yes and give it a go. Thank you. The final promise I want to touch on this morning is, I will give your offspring this land. And it's repeated later on in Abraham's story when God says, the whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. When God sends us to a new place, either physically or within our hearts and minds, God intends us to possess the place, to own the place. He calls us to exercise a complete sense of belonging. This is ours for him. He requires us to take responsibility for the places and the spaces that he's sending us to make a kingdom difference. Now, you probably are aware that we're one of the venues for an NHS partnership program called Integrated Neighbourhood Hubs. The exercise sessions Saints Foundation mean this place is buzzing on a Tuesday. Don't try and find a parking space. Yeah? It is buzzing. 80 to 100 to 120 people moving through this building. But just having that number of people in this building is not kingdom work. Possession of this opportunity, ownership for God's purposes, is when one of us comes to that session and joins in and shares about what we do here, or invites somebody to come to a different group or activity that is going on. Possession of this opportunity or ownership for God's purposes comes about when we build relationship with people at our monthly Connect Cafe. Possessing the land in God's economy is about an active fulfillment of a divine promise. It requires us to step into and fight for and occupy the inheritance that God has given us. It means stamping a spiritual authority on what we do. It means seeing who we are and who we serve as being held in sacred trust, and something that we will defend and watch over and offer. And, you know, we sang that song, didn't we, about God being that wall kicker, basher down. I love it. God fights for us, and he calls us to be a people that will fight for him to own and possess the places and the spaces that he's given us. It means that we're active in in what brings about spiritual awareness, in what brings about spiritual change, and what brings about spiritual growth. Possessing the land requires us to claim everything we do for Jesus. God promises to show us the direction, where he wants us to be and what he wants us to do and who he wants us to be within all of that. And we are called to be a people who say yes. Yes to the journey of discovery about him, about others, and about ourselves. It will require change, but it will also produce growth. God promises to bless us, not just for our benefit, but so we can be a blessing to others. We must say yes to both receiving the blessing and yes to pass it on. To intentionally light up the places that he sends us to with his love and his goodness and his peace. God promises we can possess the land he's giving us, but we must say yes to driving out those things within us and around us that are rooted in enemy activity. Staying safe, that's the enemy at work. Remaining comfortable, that is the enemy at work. We are called to be bold champions, to be pioneers, to be explorers, to break fresh ground and to reclaim the ground that the enemy has taken from us. Remember how the enemy tempted Jesus. We are called to resist this. We're called to be people in all places and in all spaces to be welcoming the divine in. So we're going to spend a couple of moments asking the Holy Spirit to speak with us. Asking God to give us discernment, to see what he's showing us. Courage to say yes to a journey of discovery and change. Joy as we see what possessing the land looks like in our lives. Our prayer is, Lord, let your kingdom come. So let's spend a moment or two chewing over where we've sensed the Holy Spirit speaking to us this morning. Lord, would you help us not to intellectually say yes, but to respond by demonstrating yes as you lead. Lord, would you help us not to exercise trust and faith simply intellectually, but for us to put our feet and our hearts and our minds and our voices and our hands into those places where we have to exercise trust and faith. And Lord, would you give us a sense of legacy? Lord, would you give us a sense of how we can make a lasting difference in the lives of those around us? Lord, help us to reflect on this question, what will people say that I left behind? Might it be lasting change for your kingdom purposes? Oh God, let your kingdom come. Amen.